Because I feel like that song has so much power and authority in it, and at times we can kind of blow past it just into the next phase of the night. And just for a moment, if I could just have everybody just close your eyes for a second and imagine the most beautiful starlit night, clear skies that you've ever seen. This beautiful just stars sparkling in the sky, and you have your eyes closed, and you're thinking, man, this, where does this space end? Where does it go? Does it just go on forever? The beautiful thing about this song is as we sing, God, you reign, all those stars that you see in the sky, all the water in the oceans on every part of this planet, every planet in our universe, God has authority over it all. He reigns over it all. He reigns. And he says to you today, he says to you right now, I love you. And I want to be near to you. I care for you. He told us in his word that he wants us to be close to him as a son or daughter would be close to their mom or dad. He wants to be near to us. The God that reigns over the entire universe. Put the stars in the sky. Put the land and the mountains in their place and the oceans where they belong. He reigns on high. And tonight as we move into this message, just while your eyes are closed and your head is bowed or just looking at the floor, I just want to open tonight with a word of prayer saying, God, you reign. Lord, as we move from song to presenting your word, we know that you reign over it all. There's none like you. There never has been and there never will be. And I pray tonight as we jump into your word that you would illuminate to us, that you would light up your word to us and show us who you are through it. God, I thank you for reigning over the universe. And in the expanse of time, you did not think it too much to step into our world and rescue us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Oh, it's a good song. I'm going to switch and see if this works. If it doesn't, last week we had some issues with it, I'll switch back. If it starts cutting out, then I'll swap. Well, tonight we are talking about activating service, and we're in this is the second to last week of the series, and then for August we're going to go into a different series. But tonight I want to talk to you just in the start of this time. I want to tell you why we talk about activate, why this is so important. Has anybody heard the idea of a fruitful life? Have you ever heard this concept that you can live a fruitful life? Well, this idea comes from the Bible. It comes from where God says that we're a field, and we are a branch, and we can be attached to the vine of God, and we can bear good fruit. All kinds of different kind of visual illustrations about what our lives could be like if they were fruitful. Now, if I were to ask you today if you wanted to live a fruitful life or a fruitless life, you would probably say, I want to live a fruitful life. And it wouldn't take too much thought. It doesn't take too much thought if I were to ask you, do you want to live a life full of peace or do you want a life full of anxiety? You would, of course, say, I want peace. If I were to ask you if you want war or peace, you'd say, oh, I want peace. Who doesn't, right? It's almost like common sense. If I were to ask you, do you want anger and hate as part of the mark of your life or do you want rest and do you want to be known as a peacemaker? You would, of course, say, I want to be known as a peacemaker. I want to be known as somebody who, when everybody's going crazy, I can step in, and because I'm there, people just know that things are going to be okay. It's going to be calm, right? We want that kind of fruit out of our lives. If I were to ask you, do you want to be known as somebody who gossips and hates on people, or do you want to be known as somebody who loves and cares for people? It wouldn't take too much time for you to answer back and say, you know what, I want to be the kind person in the room. I don't want to be the one that everybody knows to be the hater or the gossiper, right? Well, all of those things I'm talking about are part of the life in God that is called bearing good fruit. And the way that happens, it doesn't just happen by accident. It happens by positioning ourselves in a place where we can bear much fruit, where we can pull from God his power and he imputes into us. He redeems us, he restores us, and then the byproduct of him redeeming and restoring us is a life lived in relationship with him, and then we can, in turn, bear good fruit And you can look all through the Bible. There's lists of like kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, all these different things that are called good fruit. And the idea behind this Activate series is that you get a hold of maybe some core principles that you can say, oh, okay, that's how I get myself in a position where I can begin bearing good fruit. We've talked about generosity. We talked last week, Tara talked about forgiveness and what it takes to get in a position where you're forgiving people and not carrying around bitterness, right? We have to position ourselves so that we can activate these fruits and live a life of fruitfulness. Sometimes, and this is where I'll end kind of this explanation of why we're doing it. Sometimes we get caught in church thinking that faithfulness is good enough. We think faithfulness is like where it's at. We think faithfulness to a church activity is where life and good life is. So we show up and we're consistent. We might even be part of a ministry team. We might even attend Sunday morning, every Sunday morning with our family. And we think that's good life. That's living. But if you look carefully, faithfulness is not fruitfulness. Somebody can show up to every good thing and never bear any good fruit. You can be present at every great activity and never bear any fruit. It takes the heart of a person to change on the inside before anything on the outside changes. So my hope and the leader's hope for you throughout this entire series is that as part of this activation, as you're hearing these words, that it wouldn't just be words coming at you from outside thinking, oh, activating service, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll go rake my neighbor's yard. No, it's a change that would happen on the inside so that you would recognize God's love for you and then his love would pour out from you and become forgiveness. That you recognize God's love for you on the inside and as that comes out, it would become generosity. That you'd recognize God's love for you, and on the inside, it would transform you, and then as it pours out, it becomes kind service towards your neighbor. So the thing I want you guys to grab hold of throughout this whole series is that it's not about what happens on the outside. It's what happens on the inside that really matters. And that is where true fruitfulness comes from. That's what it's about, being activated. All right? So that's kind of the intro to the intro. That's the beginning to the message. I want to give you the why behind the what before we even get started, to know that our heart for you is that true life change would happen, and we know that true life change starts on the inside of a person, not on the outside. So tonight as we dig in, if you have a Bible, I want you to open up to Romans. If you have a phone or a YouVersion iPod or something like that where you're connected, you can scroll down to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read that in just a second. But if we can throw this up, you can kind of see these words on the screen. It's the Activate series is all about positioning ourselves in the best way possible so that fruit will grow in our lives. That's kind of the word that I've thought about for this Activate series. That's what it's about. If you can write that down, put it in your note. And my hope is, and our hope is, that you would position yourself in the best way possible so that fruit would grow in your life. And that's possible to do even if you've not made a decision about Jesus Christ. Because, I mean, we're a church. We believe in Jesus. We're unashamedly going to tell you that we want you to believe that Jesus is Lord. But here's the thing. You can position yourself for fruitfulness even before you've come to a decision about faith. So we want to help you. We want to move you along in your faith. This is what the Activate series is all about. Positioning yourself in the best way possible so that fruit would grow in your life. All right, so here's the text I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read you this text and then tell you a little story about service this week. All right, so it goes like this, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And just so you know, if you're not too familiar with Bible wordage and letters and stuff, Romans is a letter actually written by Paul the Apostle to the Christians in Rome. Okay, so this is part of a letter written to people in another part of the world that were kind of in their initial phases of faith, and Rome was a very American-esque culture, very logical and reasoning, philosophical-based society. So I'm just going to read this to you, and then I'll tell you a quick story. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. This is verse 1. Paul says to the Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans 12, 1 through 2. This past week, we got home from a couple days away, and our pool, I don't know if anybody has a pool in their yard, but we have a pool in our backyard, and in just a few weeks, we're going to be hanging out there on a Wednesday night, but I promise, hopefully you'll forget the story by the time you come over, but I was, we came back from this little vacation, and I walked out in the back, and the pool was pond scum green. Anybody ever seen that in a pool? If you've seen that in your pool, raise your hand. Say, I have a pool, and at one time or another, it's been this green color that I think there was like the swamp people would come right out of it. That's what it was. Well, it was this color green, and it was like, if you look into it, you could kind of see the bottom, but the bottom was like, almost looked like the pool didn't have a liner. It was just mud on the bottom. It wasn't that bad. But there was just spots of it that were kind of like really, really dark, and you could tell stuff had settled in there. So what happened was I was away, and my wife went to the pool store, and she bought chemicals, and they were like, well, before you put any of these chemicals in, you should probably vacuum it out. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but to vacuum the pool, it means you hook up this scrubber to a long pole, and then you run the pole into the pool, and you kind of rub it along the bottom of the pool, and it pulls up all the junk that's on the bottom. Well, that night I got home, and Tara, my wife, she explained all it to me. She said, well, we got to put these chemicals in, step one, step two, okay, whatever. But before we do, we got to vacuum it. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that, whatever. So I grabbed the vacuum brush. And before I get to the next part, you guys got to know, I've got three beautiful kids, and they think the pool is like magic. And honestly, I think I do too, because when they get in the pool, it's like joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. Everybody's getting along. Nobody's angry at each other. They're just splashing. It's like happy time. Anybody have happy time in their pools? I don't, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that has happy time, but they love it. They just go crazy for it. And to see them playing in the pool, like, I've never had a pool growing up, but when I see my kids playing in the pool, I'm like, I'm a good dad now. I'm a good dad. That's all I have to do is just get a pool, get the kids in the pool. They're happy. They're excited. Great. And I feel like a success, right? Well, okay, so my kids love the pool. And as you could imagine, if it's green, they're not swimming in it. Right? They're 5, 6, and 11. JJ's my 11-year-old. He's like the adventurous one who could care less to roll around in mud and eat worms and stuff. He wouldn't touch this water. He's not going anywhere near it. Well, so I get to the point where Tara's like, okay, you gotta vacuum the pool. I'm, okay, fine. I grab the brush to go vacuum the pool, and it's busted. It's busted, like the connection for the pool is broken off. So right away, I go through like the troubleshooting thing. Do I get duct tape? What do I do with this? But the only way I resolve to do it is, without a doubt, the only way to get this done is somebody's got to get in the pool. Somebody's got to get in the pool to run this scrubber on the bottom of the pool. So I'm like, I say that out loud as I'm thinking it. Somebody's going to have to get in the pool. Just like, oh. So I look at my wife, and she's like, I'm like, well, do you want to go swimming? And she's like, yeah, and it ain't happening. So I said, you know what? I guess I'll just get in the pool. I'll get in the pool, and who cares? I'll just get in the pool and scrub it out. I'll just vacuum it out. So what I do is I get it all ready. I jump in the pool. And as I'm walking around, like I'm kind of like moving my feet, and it's all slippery on the bottom, and stuff's coming up and like grabbing my toes, and I think it's just mud, but my imagination's going wild. But after about an hour of vacuuming the bottom of the pool, everything's cleaned up, the bottom, you can see the bottom, and then there's like this green residue that's all along the walls. So we have a scrubber, I take the scrubber, and I'm like scrubbing it. And the whole time, like, I'm scrubbing the side, and I got this hose in my hand, and I'm trying to do it, and my shoulders are killing me, and I'm doing all this stuff. The whole time, my kids are coming out on the deck. They're like, Dad, how are you doing? Is it clean yet? Is it clean? Dad, are you done? Are you done? And then Mariah, my 5-year-old, she comes out, and in the middle of it all, she goes, thanks, Dad. Thanks for cleaning. Thanks for making the green go away. She says that to me. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet, guys? That's sweet, right? This just melt me. Michael, you clapping for Mariah. I'm going to tell her later. But it was super sweet. She's like coming out and thanking me for it. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. No problem. You know, and I honestly didn't think twice about it. I just thought, it's green. Somebody's going to have to get in there and do it, right? Well, This whole story, and it ends there. It ends like, I cleaned it up and the kids loved it. They're loving it for it. We dumped like 18,000 gallons of chlorine in it afterwards. So now it's all, like, if you jump in, it'll bleach your shorts right away. Like, they'll just be white. No, not really. But I wanted to make sure it was, like, I'm not going to have to do this again. So we get it all clean. We got it all finished up. And the reason I tell you this story is because my service in the pool, the action of me cleaning the pool was... I'll tell you what, if I was a single guy living in that house, in a moment, I would have been on the phone with the pool company saying, hey, could you send somebody over to clean this pool? Because there's no way I'm getting in there. But I knew that that would be like a week or two, and I'd be okay with that if I had to wait myself. But because I knew that my kids wanted to get in the pool like tomorrow, like they wanted to be in there because it's going to be hot, I wanted them to be in the magic water and have a good time. I was like, the only option is to jump in and to clean this pool. The only option is to make it work so that they can be in the pool, so that they can have a good time. And service is like this. And I know it sounds funny, but Christian service is like this. Christian service says, because I'm in relationship with someone, I do those things that I wouldn't do otherwise because I love them. Christian service says, because I am in a relationship with someone, I would do the things that I wouldn't do otherwise because I love them. And the way I have this up on the screen, you can kind of see this. It says, this is how I'm messing Matt up because I'm way outside of my plans for this. But here it is. Christian service, this is how I word it up. Christian service is an act of acknowledgement, not obligation. And to grab hold of this, Christian service is about being in relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing how much he has loved you, and then moving forward, doing things that you would not normally do because of the love that resides in you, because of the rescue that has taken place in your life, all of a sudden you see people differently. And it's not because you feel like, well, I got to check this box, or I've got to show up at this thing, or I want to give more money because we want to reach this goal. It's because you're in relationship with someone that has done something so much for you that you couldn't otherwise do anything else. And when I look at my kids, there was no thinking involved. I kind of joke around about the interaction between me and Tara, but the whole time we knew I was going in the pool. There's no way she's going in, and I wouldn't have let her even if she wanted to. The truth is, I love my children, and in so doing, I do things that I wouldn't normally do. There's diaper changes. There's all kinds of different things that we do on that front. But what we do is out of an acknowledgement of relationship, not obligation. Here's what I want for you. The agenda's right on the front tonight. Here's what I want for you tonight. Here's what I want for you. I want you to live a life in response to what God has done for you. That's what I want for you tonight. I want everybody on the planet, if I'm going to be totally honest, I want everybody on the planet, the fire that drives me at night, the thing that keeps me up, is I would love, one, for everybody to know how much God loves them, and two, for us as humankind, to live in response to that love in a way that has never been seen before. Can you imagine if, like, we all left this place and we understood the depth and the breadth of God's love for us, and the depth and the breadth of our sin, and how much it separated us from him, and we walked out of this place and said, I don't care who they are, I don't care how dirty they are, I don't care how long they've been sitting on the corner begging for something, I'm going to help them out. I'm going to love them. Because God loved me so much that I can't help but love them. What would happen to our city? What would happen to our schools? What would happen to our summer? What would happen to the beach if we lived like that? But we get confused. And there's a verse that kind of reflects this. Jesus says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, I've kind of blown over something that's very important. I want to back up a little bit and say this. There's an acknowledgement of a relationship that Paul even identifies here that I'm blazing over top of. Because we're in chapter 12 of Romans, but there's obviously 11 chapters before that, right? And the beginning of that verse starts with what? Do you remember this word, therefore? I appeal to you, therefore. Therefore means there's something before that, right? So some people, they break Romans into like five different parts. Some people break it into four. The bottom line is that Paul writes all these chapters to the church in Rome about basically two things. Grace, and then what do you do because of it? The grace of God poured out on mankind, and then how we live in the light of it. in the beginning of chapter 12 is when he starts talking about how we live in the light of God's grace. And I don't want to take for granted that all of us in the room understand what God has done to acknowledge us. Because I could easily talk about us acknowledging God and saying, yeah, he's great, we should love people because he loved us. But all the while, not realizing there might be somebody in the room who doesn't really know how much God loves them and not able to acknowledge his love for you. So earlier in Romans, just real quick, Paul communicates to the Christians in Rome that it's not anything they can do by their acts of righteousness that would get them in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's only by the grace of God, it's only by his power at work in the world that brings them into right relationship. And the way that happens is our sin separates us from him. And this might sound super elementary, and I know if you're thinking already, I've heard this before, you're already almost starting to check out because of the sin word. Oh, yep, this is like Christianity 101. Don't do that, because if that's what you're thinking, you don't get it yet. Our sin separates us from God. It built this giant gap between us and him. And when it did that, there was no, absolutely no way for us to get back to him, except for one. He had to come to us. And Christianity is the only religion in all the world, is the only religion in all the world that says God came to man. Every other church, every other kind of church you go to says we have to work our way to him. But Paul, in this book of Romans, says something that blew the mind of every religious leader of the day. Because Paul is saying, no, it's not about us working our way to God. God worked his way to us, to bring us to himself. And man is helpless without him. So what can we do? What can man do? The answer is nothing. Honestly, we can do nothing. We didn't do something to get it, and we can't do something to keep it. God loved us so much that he sent his son so that we might be his children. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that if we believe in him and if we receive him as our Lord, we will be made children of God. So, if we acknowledge that, if we acknowledge that and do things because of our relationship with him, that's where Christian service starts. All right, so that's where it starts. But what do we understand as Christian service? Now, all you guys have an understanding of what Christian service is, I know, because you're probably in some way familiar, even familiar with, like, late-night TV ads. I woke up the other night, I was laying on the couch, because sometimes I sleep on the couch. Who sleeps on the couch in the summertime real late because you're watching TV? Anybody? And that's probably where the fan is blowing. If you don't have central air, the fan blow. Anyway, so the TV's on, and this happens to me. Laying there, and the TV's left on, and in, like, it must have been like 3, 4 in the morning, I hear this guy, this voice, my eyes are closed, I hear this voice saying, if you just plant a seed of faith for $15, if you plant a seed of faith, you can get healed. And I'm like, whoa, is this a word from God? Is this, like, God speaking to me right now? Or what? Like, and I open my eyes, and it's this guy on TV telling me to send in my dollars and my money so that I can get a blessing back in return. Now, I'm not one to pick on those guys. They have all kinds of different beliefs and doctrines. I don't know who they are. I don't even know who this guy was. I basically just turned the TV off and went back to bed. But here's what I'm here to tell you tonight is we have a misunderstanding of what Christian service is. Some of us think that giving our money is Christian service. Some of us think if we give to a certain organization, we're participating in Christian service. Some of us think simply going to church is Christian service, is what it means to serve God, just going to church. Now, we even call the thing we do in that building or in this building sometimes, what do we call it? We call it service. We call it services. Almost like we're showing up, and because we're here, God gets something. Like he's like, we're servicing him. We're letting him know, hey, God, we're here for you. All right, see you in 6 days. Love you, buddy. Right? That is not Christian service. It's a false idea of what Christian service is. Just simply having people in the building at times is called service. Wrong. All right. Sometimes we understand Christian service, and this is I want to kind of debunk some of these ideas. The things that people do, the things that people who go to church do when they go on a missions trip. Right? Like, if you think, oh, what is Christian service? What are the things that Christians should be doing in service to God? They should go on missions trips, right? And that could be a great thing. That's a good thing. Oh, you know, most of these things are great things to be part of if they're coming from the right place. But simply going on a mission trip can be just as much an act of sinful, self-righteous arrogance as walking out of here and gossiping about somebody. Because you think that that's getting you closer to who God is. Right? But a false act of service can be what thinking, oh, I guess that's what Christians do when they go on those missions trips. Now, raising money for some kid in another country who doesn't have any shoes. Right? And this is kind of like, my idea of this is like, we just think, like, participating in a church serve event. Remember last year when we brought all those shoes together and we gave them to the church and then the church filled all these hundreds of, or like, boxes, and I remember this because for like 2 days afterwards, there was a bunch of stank shoes in the sanctuary, and it was hilarious because they were all in the sanctuary, and some people were actually taking the shoes off of their feet and putting them in boxes. Praise God for that. Praise God for people's hearts where they want to give their own shoes off their feet. But here, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you understand Christian service as giving things, simply giving things, and saying, here, I've done my duty as a Christian service, you're wrong. You haven't figured it out yet. You're not there. You're not there yet, all right? So stick with me. It's not simply giving something away that you could otherwise not do with or not or you could do without. All right, doing good deeds or random acts of kindness. Now, this is huge because sometimes we think, like, it's super popular right now for social justice. Like, social justice is super hip. It's, like, the cool thing to be part of, right? How many of you guys have heard about, like, the Invisible Children or some other overseas thing that we want to be part of? You know what's huge, like, a huge thing right now to be cool to be part of politically is sex trafficking. Like, women or young children that are abducted and taken into trafficking situations and they're sold or bought in slavery. Now, that's a huge political thing to be part of. Let there be no mistake. There are millions of dollars being passed around because people are trying to make efforts towards this. But, and it's a great effort. Great effort. It's a good deed. It's an act of kindness that should be done and it needs to be done. We should be part of that. But if we understand Christian service to be doing things like this and like this alone, then we've missed the boat. Because we're doing things on the outside. We're making change on the outside. And we're saying, that's a good, you know, that's a good cause. I want to be part of that. And if that's all it is, then that's all it is. And it'll die with your action. But if your Christian service grows out of an acknowledgement of who God is and what He has done, then these things that could be good, but it could also be wretched, become great and eternal things. Because Christian service isn't about doing something kind, but it's about being in acknowledgement of God and who He is. All right. Christian service. It's dictionary defined a whole bunch of different ways. What is service? It's an operation of a weapon. It's an occupation. So I've told you what it isn't. Let me tell you what it is. Christian service is this. It's the acknowledgement of a relationship with God through action. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? Do we do it to get money? Do we do it to get, like I said, political gain? Do we do it to get leverage against other people? Why do we do it? Some of us even do it because we want to be served, right? Like, the Christian serves because they have been served. I know that sounds weird. That sounds crazy, but my children someday will not think twice about jumping into their green pool because they know that their dad loved them so much that he jumped into their green pool. For their kids, they'll do it, right? They know that. They see that as love. Now, what is we as Christians, how do we relate that to our relationship with Christ? We look at Jesus and we see how He bent down and He took a towel from around His waist and He showed His disciples what it looked like to serve. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords washed the disciples' feet, the nastiest feet of all. It didn't stop there, but He went to the cross and performed the ultimate act of service and was nailed there, laid His life down as an offering. So we as Christians look and see service as something that's done in response to a relationship with a God who served rather than made others serve Him. So tonight, as I close, I want to draw your attention, whether you're a Christian in the room or not, I want to draw your attention to two things. The first one is for those of you in the room who maybe you haven't made a decision about who Jesus is, and what he's done. But I want to challenge you with this. If you're in the room, my appeal to you is that you would receive God's love and that you would believe in Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you're there or not. I don't know where you're at in your relationship. Maybe you've been near to him and now you're far from him. But as you see him as the servant king, I appeal to you, I beg you to look to him for your hope. Look to him for your strength. Look to him for your peace. I beg you to. I don't know who you are. And if it's something where you have questions in the back of your head, great. Have the questions. Ask them. I promise you none of them or most of them won't get answered, but you'll be able to have fun chasing the answers. And God will help you along the way. But I beg you, trust in him. Maybe it's just an inch you need to step and say, okay, God, I don't know about this, but I'm just going to trust you here where I haven't before. I'm going to trust you with this relationship. I'm going to rest in the peace knowing that I've studied my heart out, and I'll just rest knowing that you've got this. I don't know what it is, but I pray that you would trust him. For those of you in the room who maybe you're over the summer, your relationship with Christ is rocking. You're like reading your Bible every day. You're talking with him. You're acknowledging him and his relationship with you all the time. I want to challenge you and say, how are you serving? How are you serving and how are you planning to serve? What are you doing that you wouldn't typically be doing if you weren't in relationship with him? All right, so what is the mark of your life? Because you're in relationship with him, you're taking action by sharing him this way. What is it? What are you doing? And tonight, if that's you, if that's your heart, if you're saying, I'm a Christian and there's things that I believe Jesus, no matter what, I'll go to the end of the earth and I'll follow him faithfully. And my question to you is, what does that look like in your life to serve? What does it look like? And here in this church, here in this youth church, we have the opportunity for you to be part of a ministry team where you can say, I love to serve people. I want to be part of the team to do that. How do I do that? We'll get you plugged in right away. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's not in this place. But I would beg you, in the same way I would beg those in this room who don't know Christ, I would beg you, Christian, to get connected with a team where you can serve in a way that you wouldn't outside of the church. All right. So let's pray. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And we're just going to pray. If closing your eyes is more distracting to you than keeping them open, then I'll just ask for you to stare at the floor. Keep them open and stare at the floor. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you're in the room and you're saying in your heart, God, I'm far from you, and throughout this message, I've seen and heard your word, and it's drawing me closer to you. If that's you and that's your heart, I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but in a little bit, I'm going to ask you to sign a card just so that we can follow up with you. But if that's you, just so that I can pray with you and you want to be closer to him because he's the serving king, I'm going to ask you to raise your left hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to be closer to him and I've been far from him. Okay. And the next action, thank you. The next action is going to be related to first serves. And you can't do that in your seat with your head bowed. You can only do that as you leave the room. I'm going to ask you to do that as you go. But right now, let's pray and we'll close our night. Father, I thank you so much for this room, for this building, for every person in this place that knows you. Father, I thank you for every person in this place that doesn't. I pray, God, that you would continue to form destinies in line with your plan for our lives. I thank you, God, and I praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So if you guys are part of that second group, there are first serve cards on the back. If that's the direction you're going to take with your next step, they're there. You can fill them out and turn them in. But otherwise, you are dismissed. This